Well, if you would this morning, if you would turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start going through the book of Ephesians, looking at what God has written to us as a church, what we need to know. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And once you're there, if you stand for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians 1, 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, and to the praise of his glory. Amen. You may be seated. This is a message to Ephesians, a chapter. We're getting started on this. And I thought maybe it might be good just to kind of break it down a little bit before we got started. Ephesians, of course, is a church that was founded by Paul on his second missionary trip. And on his third missionary trip, he ended up because these missionary trips aren't like a week trip or 2 week trips, okay? They took some while. But on his third missionary trip, he spent 3 years here in Ephesus, right? And he's writing a doctrinal, a teaching on the church. All right, and to kind of give you an idea, I mean, just to let you know, the church is not a building, it's us, amen? Right. Amen. So he's directing this letter to us as we get through here. So let me just kind of break it down, this chapter, and I think maybe it might help us. You know, he starts this as a letter to this church to encourage them and what have you, and to teach about the church, the doctrine of the church. And he opens it up by first with his salutation, and then he talks about things that God the Father has done for you. Then he talks about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Then he talks about what the Holy Spirit of God has done for you. And then he closes this chapter with a prayer for you. So let's get started on here. It says Ephesians 1:1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is an apostle here. He says, by the will of God. It's not some man, and he didn't do this on his own. He's letting you know right up front that it is God's will that he's an apostle. And he has an authority to speak to us. And it's written to the saints of Ephesus, but notice, look what it says. It says also to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Isn't it a shame that a lot of Christians aren't faithful? It is it not? But anyway, if you're a faithful Christian, Paul is writing this to you. This is a personal letter to you. And when you're reading this, you should think about this being written directly to you. Because that's what he says right here. And notice where grace and peace come from. We were talking about that in Sunday school, were we not? About peace, right? But notice where it comes from. It comes from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this whole world can't offer you peace. I mean, you just turn on the radio whenever. All you hear is about riots and protests and I don't care. There's a war of protests, something going on somewhere in the world if it's not in your own backyard, right? And so this world may offer you some happiness for a while, but suffering soon close behind, is it not? It's always right there. So in Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, when you got saved, you had peace with God, amen? You weren't his enemy anymore. You trusted Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you had peace. You got peace with him. That's the most important person to have peace with. Amen? Right. Amen? Okay, but notice, but Romans 15:33 says this, now the peace, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And that's the peace that Paul's talking about here. He is talking, Paul's talking about peace with God. He's not talking about that, but he's talking about that God is a God of peace. And you can't have peace in the world unless you have God's peace. Amen. You know, this whole world's looking for peace in all the wrong places. Amen. It's interesting that you picked peace. It's your Sunday school lesson, isn't it, Rick? Amen. Man. But that's what he starts out. He starts out this letter talking about peace here. And he is a God of peace. Then he is a source of real peace. And like I said, this whole world is looking at all in the wrong places to find real peace. They're not looking to all these things that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. All right. So he establishes in his salutation here, to his letter, that he is the will of God. Right? Not some man-made thing. That he's going to talk to, and he's talking directly to you, the church. And he's talking about you, and this letter is to you. And he's going to start out by telling you what God has done for you. God the Father. Because you know, a lot of times people say, well, what has God done for me recently? Well, let's look at some of the things that God has done for you already. Amen? It says there in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop there for a minute. How do you bless God? How do you bless God? I mean, we want God to bless us. How do you bless God? You know, just getting and speaking well of Him and everything. You know, one of these Sunday nights I would like to have as a testimony, not only singing and singing glory to Him, but to ever give a personal testimony of what God has done for you. And we might do that here sometime next month. But anyway, it's good to hear what God has done for us. That's how you bless God. But let's continue on here. It says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now notice what He's done for us. You know, the first thing He's done for us, He's given us spiritual blessings, right? And where are the spiritual blessings located? They are located in heavenly places, but they're rooted right down here in the Lord Jesus Christ, are they not? And we are absent from the Lord in regard to our physical body, but not spiritual. We Christians are joined to a body whose head is in heaven. We have a spiritual connection with the Lord Jesus Christ the unsaved do not have. And we have a connection to each other who are saved in Jesus Christ because of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that God has done for us is He's blessed us with spiritual blessings in Christ. The second thing that God the Father has done for us, He has chosen us. See, the God is the one who chose us before we accepted His invitation for salvation. You know, the Bible says that God chose us before the foundation of the world. Think about that. God had you in His mind before the world, amen? He already had you thinking all those years ahead. See, God knows everything. God is the God of knowledge. No one can catch God off guard. God knows everything, and He knows each and every one of you. Amen? Yes, He does. So, and two things God has chosen you to be. He's chosen you to be holy and without blame. That's what He's chosen you to be. Amen? God wants us to live our Christian life in such a way that it brings Him the praise and the glory. And we do this by our testimony and the way we live our lives. So in verse 3, it says that God has blessed us. In verse 4, it says God has chosen us. In verse 5, it says God has predestinated us. All right? And this is a strong verse to prove eternal security of the believer. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. You're not going to go to hell. Why? Because you've been predestinated. See, predestination in many times is taken out of context, but it simply means that the day you and I got saved, our destination was already set. Amen? It's set. I heard people discredit God by saying God predestinated some to heaven and some to hell. That is a lie out of hell. Amen? Yes. So, the fourth thing that God, moving right on, the fourth thing God has done for you, you know, He's adopted us into His family. He has given us His name. He has adopted us. We are His children. How did He do it? He did it by Jesus Christ. See, you cannot get to God except by Jesus Christ. That's the only way, amen? God has blessed you by Jesus Christ. God has chosen you by Jesus Christ. God has predestined you by Jesus Christ. And God has adopted us into His family by Jesus Christ, amen? God saved you and me for himself according to his good pleasure and his will. You and I were created for God's pleasure. So why did God save us? Well, in verse 6, he says that he's for his praise and for his glory of his grace. For his grace. It's a glory for his grace. Because we don't deserve it, do we? That's the reason why we praise him. Because we know we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve all the things God has done for us. Amen. And so it's to his praise and his honor and his glory that we praise. Amen, amen, amen. So that's why he did it. Sometimes we fall short, don't we? You're giving him the praise and the glory we should be giving him. But God saved you and I to praise him for the glory of his grace to you and me. And where would we be without the grace of God in our lives? You know, not only for our salvation, you know, he gives us a lot of slack during our lives too, amen? Amen. God's grace, amen? And the fifth thing that God has done for us, he has made us accepted. He's made us accepted. Now, how can a dirty, rotten sinner be saved and accepted? Well, verse 6 tells us we're accepted in the Beloved, amen? The Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Matthew 3:17 says this, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So verse 3 and 6, we have looked at what God has done for us. You know, God has blessed us. God has chosen us. God has predestinated us. God has adopted us into his family. And God has made us accepted. This is what the Father has done. What has the Lord Jesus Christ done for us? Again, let's pick it up here. In Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might have gathered together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now I want you to go back. I want you to look at Ephesians 1:7. Let's break that down. He said, in whom? It refers back to the Beloved, amen. Who's the Beloved? It's Jesus Christ. It's in whom, all right? In whom? That is Christ. He says, we have. Notice what it says in the next thing? See, we're not working for it. We're not hoping for it. We already have it. See? And what is it we have? It says redemption through his blood. We already have redemption in his blood. We're not working for it. We're not trying to get there. We have it the moment you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Now, you can't ignore that. So it's redemption through his blood, which also brings about what? The forgiveness of sins. And again, it's not because we merit it, but according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that what the verse says? Amen, amen, amen. Glory, praise God for his grace. We have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. It says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. See, that's what Colossians also says, all right? You know, a lot of Bibles take the blood out. Can you imagine reading that verse? We have redemption. Well, if there's no blood, there's no redemption, amen? A lot of these new Bibles are anemic, right? I'm telling you, they need a little blood transfusion to get them going. I mean, if you take out the blood, there is no redemption. What are they doing? So the first thing Jesus has done for us, he has redeemed us. How did he do it? He did it through his shed blood. The second thing is the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Come on, isn't that wonderful? I mean, we've been redeemed. Your sins have all been forgiven. Right? I mean, you're saved. You have no sins on your record. Your book is clean. There is nothing there. You ask, well, if I sinned after I get saved? Well, you know, you deal with it in this life. Right? And sometimes the Lord has to come down and chastise us. Amen? Sometimes he's got to get us back in the deal. But your sins, when you die, your sins are gone, gone, gone. Amen? He covered them in the blood. You've been redeemed. Your sins are forgiven. Glory to God. And you know what he's giving us? He's giving us wisdom and prudence. He wants you to have wisdom and prudence. Wisdom. God is willing to give us wisdom. That is knowledge of this life. You know what prudence is? It's know how to use that wisdom. Have you ever seen somebody, they have a lot of wisdom, but they have no sense of what to do with it? God, you want both of those. You want wisdom and you want prudence. You want to know how to use that wisdom that God has given to you. Amen? That's what God has given to us. And what is the mystery of his will? Well, he's going to give her all things in Christ. This is the save from Pentecost right up until the rapture, until right now, the rapture of the church. Again, God has formed the church for his good pleasure and for his purpose. Amen? We were looking at it in the book of Revelations. And what does it mean? The dispensation, the fullness of times. A dispensation is a period in the time in the Bible. That's what a dispensation is, okay? Here, what he means is the completion of the church age. This deals with all that are in Christ. The fullness of times lies in the future, ending in Revelation 21. All that are in Christ are going to be there, amen? Amen? That's what he's saying here. We're all going to be there. All of trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord. When he comes, he's going to gather us all together, and we're going to be there. Amen, amen. With all the things we were talking about in Revelation. Glory to God in eternity. All things in Christ are gathered together. It's not a universal salvation. Postmillennial teaches that everyone's going to be converted. This is not true. It's not true. You can accept or reject his salvation. That's your choice. That's your choice, amen. So the mystery is explained that he might gather together all things in Christ. This is gathering all the saved together in the body of Christ in heaven and on the earth. Aren't you glad he said on the earth? All right? He's going to gather everybody. You're not going to be left. You're still down here on the earth. Amen. All right? There's dead, either dead in heaven or you're alive on the earth. And the dead and alive in Christ will be gathered together. And what happens to those who reject Jesus Christ's atonement for their sins? What happens to those who reject that? Well, they'll go to a burning hell forever and ever. I mean, how foolish it is to reject atonement for our sins. It's foolish to accept, not to accept that. And notice what it says there, what we received in verse 11. It's a predestinated inheritance. An inheritance. And what is that inheritance that we get predestined? It's a perfect body. We're going to get a perfect body. The believer's body is bought with a price, and his body has become God's possession. Amen? It says here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, that you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your spirit and your body belong to God. He paid the price for them. Amen, amen. The purchased possession, the body, will be redeemed at the rapture. See, our soul was redeemed when we got trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the moment we trust him. But the resurrection body is that guaranteed inheritance. He says, it's coming. It's coming. Amen. So again, what did the Father do for you? God has blessed us. God has chosen us. God has predestinated. God has adopted us into his family. And God has made us accepted. What has the Lord Jesus Christ done for us? Well, he's given us redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins. Jesus has made known unto us the mystery of his will. And what is that will? That he's going to gather us all together, all right, into his body. In Christ, we have attained an inheritance. That's a perfect body. It's a promised inheritance that you're going to have. He has predestined us to be like Christ. And why does he do it? Why does he do that for you and for me? He does it for his praise, for his glory, and to show his grace. Praise God. You know, we ought to have a praise God. Amen. Can I hear a praise God? Amen. We might work on the enthusiasm a little bit, okay? Amen. Amen. Okay. But let's look what the Holy Spirit of God has done for us. Starting Ephesians 1, 12, 13, and 14. That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now we're going to look at it. The truth, you know what? The Word of God came by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. All right? And it says in Romans 10, 17, then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You can't get saved until you first heard the Word of God. See, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ after you heard the Word of truth, you were sealed, it said. Amen. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? And what's that promise? You're sealed. And nothing's going to break that seal. Amen. The Holy Spirit sealed you up in Christ. And the first thing the Holy Spirit did for you when you got saved was seal you with God's seal. Amen, amen, amen. The second thing the Holy Spirit did for us, that he put down a down payment for us. Do you know why you know you're saved forever and ever and ever and ever? You have an earnest, a down payment of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. We are promised, purchased possession, and God keeps His promises. Sometimes we are not faithful. God is always faithful. Amen. Amen. Always faithful. And what if I misbehave and sin? Will I lose my salvation? The answer is no. Verse 14 tells us how long that earnest is going to last. It says until the redemption of the purchased possession. It will be when He comes back to take the final possession. And we will receive a new body at that time. Amen. The promised inheritance. It says in Romans 8:23, but ourselves also wait for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Our body. Our old bodies have not been redeemed yet. We're still in this old stinking flesh. Amen. See, the day that will change, and you know what? We're going to be changed in the twinkle of an eye. Amen. Amen. One day He's going to glorious change this old corruptible body into an incorruptible body. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I can't wait for that day. Can you? Amen. Can you wait for the day that we get a redemption new body? This old body gives you troubles all the time. Aches and pains. Everything you have to put up with. One day He says, I'm going to give you, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your soul has been sealed. And one of these days He's coming back and you're going to get a new body. Amen, amen, amen. A resurrection is coming. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit has done for us. He sealed us in the Holy Spirit of promise, and He has paid the earnest of our inheritance. It's a promised inheritance. Amen. Promise from God. Now He's going to start this prayer. And this prayer is for each and every one of us out there. And He says in Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks to you for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. See, Paul is praying for them, and he's praying for you. And Paul's praying that you really know Jesus Christ. You really know the wisdom and revelation be revealed more and more. Now listen, that takes time. You know, that doesn't happen overnight, right? I mean, the moment you got saved, that happened like that, amen? But, you know, to actually learn more and more about Jesus Christ, to sanctify the way we walk in our daily walk, we need to spend time in the Word of God. We need this time in prayer. We need a time to get to have the spirit of wisdom in our lives. We need time to have the revelation of knowledge of God in our lives. Now remember, our continuous growth in Christian experience and knowledge in Scripture, but now comes the continuous effort on our part, right? I mean, it doesn't add anything to your salvation, because that was complete at the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit came in and sealed your soul for eternity. Amen. But if we really gain the knowledge and wisdom of God and the revelation, and we need to put something into that God's Word, and we need to be in church. Yes, church is part of God's program. Amen. Not coming to church is not part of God's program. All right. Church is part of that. And he continues in his prayer here. He says in verse 118, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead and set him in at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name in his name, not only in this world, but also that in which is to come. So what he's talking about here, God has set us up to really know Jesus Christ. That's what he's praying for us to do here. He's praying that you would know the hope and the calling of his grace in your life and the glory. But look what he's talking about. He's talking about you having the power of a resurrection Savior in your life. You know what? We Christians don't really realize the power that we have in our lives because of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit in our lives. Do we? I mean, we live our lives a lot of times defeated. We live our lives letting the flesh get the best of us and the world and getting us down and everything. But he says, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. And he talks about it as being the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what? How much power does it take to take a dead man who's been dead for 3 days and 3 nights in the grave to come out? There's power there, amen. You have God's power. You have a resurrected Savior in your life. Amen. And we should not be going around living our lives defeated. Amen. He's praying that you should reach the full potential of your Christian life, because God has so much for you that you can even imagine. And he says there, he says, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know, sometimes we get so involved in this world, we don't realize. Remember, we went through the book of Revelation? There at the end, God has so much more planned for this world. There's a world coming that you can't even imagine what God has for you. I mean, can you even imagine someplace that's not has full of viruses and sin and everything and rottenness and disease and whatever else is, we have to have in our lives? There's a world coming of righteousness and peace and glory and believing and justification and being obedient to God forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. And then he says there, he finishes up, and he hath put all things under his feet, and he had given to him to be head over all things on the, of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. Now, don't misunderstand what the church is, okay? The point is, see, here's the definition of the church. He's describing it as the church is Christ's body. That's the definition of the church. It's a good definition. We are Christ's body, right? It is not a political hierarchy. It is not a reformed society. It's not a house of merchandise. It's not a place of amusement. It's not a spokesman for the underprivileged. You know, the one who fills the universe is his body, which is the church. Amen. We are connected to Jesus Christ. We are not an organization. We are an organism. Amen. You know, we are alive in Jesus Christ, and we are connected to Jesus Christ, and we are alive because of him. Amen. Let's remember what the church really is. And so God has given to us the church, which is Christ as the head. The church, you know, is God, Jesus' body. And you are the body of Christ if you are saved. Now, how does a person get into the body of Christ? How does a person get into the body of Christ? See, the moment you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ's blood atonement of the cross, the Holy Spirit of God seals you, and he seals you in Christ. Amen? Amen? It says, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. It said by one Spirit. It didn't say by water were we all baptized. It's by one Spirit. See, it's a spiritual baptism. It's not a water baptism. And this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember that you are in the body of Christ. You are one. You are here for his praise, for his honor, and for his glory, and to show the world his grace. Look, I don't deserve what I got, but I can share it with you. You don't deserve it, but you can have what I have too. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. See, you are chosen to live a life that is holy and without blame. And you have a purpose and a destination because you are a child of God. Amen? Amen, amen. And if you're not saved, you have missed your purpose, and you have a different destination. So the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they have done a work in our life. And Paul's prayer is that you meet the full potential that God has for you. Amen? He wants you to have his full potential. Amen, amen, amen. And if you don't know Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven if you died today, see me after the service. Let me take you God's word, and he'll show you from God's word exactly what he says that what you have to do for salvation. Amen? So you know, because God is doing a work in your life, and it starts the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't know him, I encourage you today, just say, wherever you're at, if you're out there listening to this someplace on our Facebook page or something, hey, get down there right now and just get on your knees and say, God, just save me based on what you did on the cross of Calvary, because I can't save myself. Amen. And I'm just asking you to save me because of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. And thank God and praise him and give him the glory for all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit has done in your life. He's working in your life. Amen. You may not know it. You may not see it. But I guarantee you, he is in your life, and he is doing a work with you. Amen, amen, amen.